Frankie and the Answer Edgar.
This is Jordan Breen.
This is Sarah Kaufman.
This is Chris Lights Out Lido, and you listen to MMA Sucker Radio.
Yes, you are. We are live. Well, if you've just downloaded us, we're no longer live. But as I'm doing this right now, we are live. And you're listening to MMA Sucker Radio on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. No special guest co-host today, just my partner in crime, the man with the plan, producer extraordinaire, Jeremy Brand. Jeremy, thank you for riding shotgun with me today, man.
Anytime, Trev. Anytime.
Man of many words. So we've got a great show lined up today. Last week was our State of the Union show, which was a lot of fun. And so we talked about all the little hot issues going on in the last couple months. And tonight, it's a great show because we've got the New York badass, Phil Baroni, is going to be joining us here in about 10 minutes. And as well as WEC standout, I guess now UFC standout, he's going to be fighting Mark Hominick at the Fight for the Troops. George Roop is going to be jumping in. But man, you just keep getting us great guests, Jeremy. I just got to tell you, man, you are out there every day trying to get us good guests, and you just seem to knock it out of the park.
I don't know if I'm out there. I mean, inside, well, you're out there. But on the phone and texting and whatnot on the internet. Yeah, we try here.
Yeah.
Here at MMASucker.com.
You got some plans? Anything that you're working on right now, guest-wise, for upcoming shows? Anybody?
We're going to have a special guest co-host next week. We won't announce anything, but we're hoping for someone else from the Fight at the Troops card. Possibly a co-headliner.
Okay.
Not the Canadian co-headliner, though.
Okay.
So his opponent.
Oh, there you go.
That's who we're working on.
Okay, perfect. You guys can figure it out. What did you think of State of the Union, by the way, last week? If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, go to our site, MMASucker.com/radio. The archive is up. Just your thoughts, because, I mean, you were kind of... I mean, you were involved, but you didn't say much.
No, yeah, I was sitting back, relaxing, listening. I thought it was excellent. I was very impressed with the two guys we had. We had Damon Martin from MMAweekly.com and Danny Acosta from Fight Magazine. Danny had his words to say about Strikeforce, man. Like,
oh, yeah, hilarious.
Lazy the Savage messaged me the next day. He's like, dude, I listened to that show, and my boy, like, him and Danny are buddies, I guess. They're good buddies from... They're both in the same area, and they
California.
Share...
California.
Exactly. They
NorCal. Representing.
Maybe not North.
Isn't South? That San Francisco?
Yeah, he That's is, North I Coast. Guess, yeah. Yeah. And our boy Lazy's from like, Hollywood area. Pretty boy. Maybe after tomorrow he'll be pretty. He's doing his hair tomorrow.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So what's give me an update on people don't know if you're just listening for the first time. We do this thing called MMA Sucker Duel, and Jeremy's now 3-0. We take on other journalists out there or MMA people
enthusiasts,
and we go head to head with our picks. And Jeremy has been knocking off everybody. He's 3-0 now. He took on Lazy the Savage from Middle Easy, and so basically he has to. Lazy made a bet, and you made a bet, and one of Lazy's bets was that he would, we'll explain to him.
Yeah, he's got to do. So, you know, Lazy has a thing with Mayhem Miller. I'm sure everyone's seen it.
Yeah.
We have the video up on MMASucker.com where Mayhem was getting his black belt. Lazy was there to take some video footage. He says it wasn't because Mayhem was going to be there, but they got into a little bit of a tussle, and, you know, the underground is... throwing it in Lazy's face, calling him a pussy and stuff. So they do have...
first off, what do you think he's going to do? Drop the camera and get in there with Mayhem Miller?
Exactly, so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he's not, no. We all wish Nick Diaz would do that.
Yeah.
So
what's
Lazy and Mayhem have this little thing. Lazy used to be buddies with Mayhem, supposedly. Now they hate each other. So Mayhem is going to dye his hair Lazy's going to dye his hair like Mayhem with the red streak through his hair and go around his hood. So all his buddies know how much he hates. He's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, okay. So he's going to basically dress up like Mayhem.
He's
going to
do, yeah. And the dude's a videographer. So this shit's going to be killer. He's going to get out there. He's going to pretend to be Mayhem Miller, which is so funny. If you go to Michael Maradona's, that's his real name, Lazy the Savage real name. If you go to his Facebook right now, there's a pretty funny GIF that he has up there. It has him and Mayhem Miller sitting there dueling with each other with these funky words. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Got to take a look.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's great. So we're going to probably see something in the next couple weeks, a video of some sort.
Yeah, within the next week, I'm hoping.
Hey, man, that's great that he's stepping up to doing it.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's good. Any, you know, well, before we get to, you know, you're pointing at the video.
Yeah.
You want to do a video because we have our guest coming up in a few minutes. Well, okay, well, I'll ask you about it later then. Well, let's get the video going because we have Phil Baroni coming on.
It's actually audio. Minutes. You guys aren't going to be able to see the video.
Well,
if you go to
YouTube and check out Phil Baroni's Used Cars, you see one of the funniest videos at the World MMA Awards. But we're going to play it now. You can hear the audio. So, producer extraordinaire, let it go.
I'm Phil Baroni, and I'm going to sell you a f***ing car. If you want to get a girl, you don't need no class. You need to get a car that's real badass. If you got no job and you got no cash, see New York Phil and get here fast. Come on down to New York Phil's and check out my badass cars. And nothing says badass like an 88 IROC Z. You're worried about the paint? How about I grab you by the back of the head and slam your head against this thing 5 times? What? You want a Carfax report? I got your Carfax right here. No credit. Bad credit. Even bankruptcies. I'm slashing prices solo. People think I'm f***ing crazy. Everybody knows Phil Baroni loves the kids. Bring them down this weekend. I'll set them up with your very own My Little Baroni Pony. And if you're worried about buying a car from me, don't. Just remember this little jingle. It won't be a phony. If it comes from Baroni. We done with this shit yet, man? Is that the last take or what?
You won't be a phony if it comes from Baroni.
How classic is that?
Oh, dude, it's gotten so many YouTube hits. It's unreal. It keeps getting hits. I keep watching it. It's just for a little chuckle here and there.
Baroni should put it up himself and get some, like, money from that video.
Yeah, he should actually start up his own used car place.
Yeah.
Because I think people just go there because Phil Baroni is going to sell you a fucking car.
Exactly. He should call it Phony Baronis.
Yeah. Well, we're expecting Phil Baroni on here in the next few minutes. But anything specific you want me to ask him, by the way? Like, I've got a list of questions here. But is there something, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but anything specific you want to ask? I mean, or do you want to give that away right now?
No, I think it'd be interesting to hear what his thoughts are on being cut from the UFC and whatnot.
Well, he was expecting it.
He was, and that's the thing. He's had a few pretty emotional interviews. And I mean, it'll be interesting if this interview tonight gets emotional at all.
Well, yeah, and you think that, you know, a guy like him who's getting a little bit maybe longer in the tooth in, as far as the sport's concerned. I mean...
Oh, yeah. But I mean, speaking of longer in the tooth, there's guys like Jens Pulver who's still going to be fighting.
Well, so, wait, Jens Pulver, where are you hearing that? Where is he supposed to be fighting?
MMA Junkie reported that he's in an upstart Chicago cage fighting championships. Jens Pulver will serve in the main event.
See, this is the whole thing. Like, I understand guys want to go out there and make a buck and keep fighting. I understand that. Hey, I mean, it's probably an addicting thing to be involved with. I mean, fighting in general.
You're going to find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm saying I'm only going to do one fight, though, but who
knows?
That's
what you say now, yeah.
Yeah, but it must be very hard to walk away from the sport. So what I was going to ask you is, does a guy like Phil Baroni, is he now just sort of limited to those sort of circuits? Those, like we were saying with Jens Pulver, going and doing a little small Chicago show. Do guys like that sort of finish off their careers doing the small thing? Or do you think it's just a better idea to just give it up?
Hang him up, right? Yeah, I know. Well, that's a good question to ask him because, you know, organizations like Strikeforce and Bellator aren't going to go after someone like Phil Baroni, not necessarily because of his age, but because of where he's at in the sport. They're not going to pick up.
He's not an up and coming.
No, exactly. I mean, wasn't going to say washed up, but they want guys who they can promote
and market.
And he's already a name. Yeah, exactly.
And don't get me wrong. All due respect to Phil Baroni. I mean, he's put up a pretty interesting career. It's with share of ups and downs. But one thing about Phil Baroni that I like, and I'm going to ask him this when we get him, is that, you know, he's all about showmanship. And in a sport where there seems to be a lot of cookie cutter type guys out there, it's always nice to see once in a while a guy who, you know, cannot only just get in there and throw punches, but can entertain at the same time. There's sort of that pro wrestling feel to Phil Baroni that I really like.
Oh yeah, dude fucking brings it.
Yeah, yeah.
To every fight.
I'm not saying that you should get into pro wrestling, but I just think that there are more guys out there should be a little bit more entertaining. Not just in the cage, but just, you know, Mayhem Miller's another good example, right? So yeah, you know. So we are waiting here for Phil Baroni to call in. So as soon as he does, we will get on with that interview. But Fight for the Troops, by the way, is coming up January 22nd. Just give us, Jeremy, your thoughts on that. Well,
George Roop, who we have later on in the show, is fighting Canadian Mark Hominick. That's an interesting fight.
Yeah, yeah. This is the second time that the UFC has done Fight for the Troops. I would expect that they would – I figured that they would be doing it more. I know Evan Dunham's on that card as well, right? He's fighting Melvin Gillard.
Yeah, in the main event, which isn't the most interesting main event.
No. No, it's not. Evan Dunham, though, I'm very interested to see how he rebounds off that that tough loss, we'll say.
Yeah.
Controversial. Can I throw the word controversial?
I would, yeah.
There yet to Sean Sherk. So it would be nice to see how he rebounds off that. Possible MMA Sucka guest next week, Matt Mitrione. we'll be fighting Tim Hag.
Canadian Tim Hag.
Good Canadian guy, Tim Hag. There he is. Good. That was my John Cherry. Not very good.
Don Cherry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don Cherry.
They even made the poster for the event. These guys,
Tim Hag,
first fight back in the UFC. He's been in the UFC, I think, four different times.
Yeah.
Never been on a poster.
No, and there he is.
First time back in the UFC, and he's on the poster. I'm pretty sure it's because the UFC is trying to pump Mitrione up a little bit.
Really?
You don't think so?
Why?
I think they're pushing for this guy to do something big.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a fan.
I'm interested in seeing Pat Barry.
I'm saying I'm a fan of Mitrione. I'm just not a fan of – I just don't think he's – do you think he's poster worthy now?
Look at him.
I think Evan Dunham would be poster. I mean,
Evan Dunham is on the poster.
They look quite nice. Yes, they do.
Yes.
Let's go on.
Jungle Feverish?
What else on this card? Pat Barry.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight as well.
Welcome back.
He's looking very, very big too.
Yeah, Joey Bell. Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking ripped. He's looking ready to go, man. Joey Beltran. I think the last time we saw him was at UFC 115 against Mirko Krokop.
Yeah, maybe Pat Barry. I mean, I know he trains with Anthony Pettis. Could we see a Showtime kick?
Highly doubt it. He also trains with Brock Lesnar, apparently.
Yeah, but Brock, he's not allowed to punch Brock in the face.
No. So what was the point of that, do you think? You know? Oh, don't get me started.
No.
Cole Miller fighting Matt Wyman. So Matt Wyman, you'd think by now that he would have gotten cut.
I think it's all due to his nickname, Handsome.
Handsome?
Anyone who nicknames himself Handsome should have been cut before they even started fighting.
Why? What are you talking about, man? There's guys out there named Pretty Boy or whatever. Yeah, whatever. I don't have a problem with his nickname. I'm securing my sexuality. He's a good-looking guy.
There you go. Anywhere sunglasses to the cage.
Well, you gotta wear your sunglasses at night, man.
Yeah, Cole Miller. He's an interesting cat. I think he's got big things coming. If he wins this fight, Donald Cerrone's called him out, which would be a very interesting fight.
Yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, also on that card is Cody McKenzie.
Yeah, who just fought a few weeks back at the Tough Finale. Wow.
I wonder what he's good at.
could it be guillotine chokes?
Maybe. Do you think, I think it's Eves Edwards?
Eve Edwards, yeah. That guy has been around for quite some time.
Eve Levine, I'm like, no. He's not fighting Eve Levine.
No, this dude has he has 56 fights under his belt.
Who?
Eve Edwards.
Levine? Oh, Eve Edwards.
No, not Eve Levine. I'm sure he has more than 56, but
yeah,
56 fights. Could you imagine? I mean, you're fighting one fight.
Yeah.
Let alone 56.
Hey, so wow. I got a game plan here for Eve Edwards. Watch out for the guillotine choke.
Yeah, don't aim for your shots head first.
Don't get caught in the guillotine choke, Eve. He's kind of good at it. So, watch out. This guy's
fought in every promotion, too. Eh? He's been in Bellator. He's been in Musin. He's been in MFC. Shine Fight. Strike Force. Elite XC. Eve Edwards.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah.
You keep saying he. I don't know who you were talking about. Cody McKenzie or Eve Edwards.
Ah, forget about Cody McKenzie.
Yeah.
He's just good at one thing.
Thing is, though, he keeps winning.
Yeah,
That's what's so weird. I mean, it's... I don't think they should take Cody McKenzie lightly because he just looks like a guy who's ready to rock.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like a guy who just, you know, he spends a lot of time in Alaska in a fishing hut on the ice, and he hangs out there a lot with his dogs. That's what he reminds me
Cody of. Cody McKenzie. He sort of looks like V from Vendetta. That little mustache thing that he's got going
on. Oh, yeah, the last... yeah. Okay. Remember.
Well, you're saying up north. Two fights ago, Cody McKenzie fought in Trail, British Columbia.
No. Up here in British Columbia?
Actually, he's fought twice in Trail, British Columbia. And Castlegar? Four times in Trail.
Wow, holy crap.
I've never even been to Trail.
No, I've heard good things about, and for the people who are listening to Trail, I've heard good things about your place. A lot of great athletes actually come out of Trail, British Columbia, by the way.
Can you name it?
Ray Ferraro.
There you go.
Played for the New York Islanders.
Speaking of hockey, the Canucks. I mean...
I'm not going to get into hockey. Actually, what I want to ask you is, as we're waiting for Phil Baroni, who's 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
We're this Saturday is... we're doing the command program, John McCarthy's command. So we're actually going to learn about judging and refereeing. You and I are going to actually get our certification.
Hoping to.
And John is probably going to be teaching it, from what I hear.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well.
So we're going to do this. We're going to take the plunge. Maybe we could both blog about it. I don't know. Maybe one of us can blog about it. But our experience going through this two-day extensive program.
I've seen, it is very extensive.
It's from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the first day and 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the following day.
Wow.
It's going to cut into our MMA Sucker Radio show.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do it. We're going to take the plunge and we're going to become MMA judges.
Or referees.
Possibly. But I'm definitely going for the MMA judging angle.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanna sit there cage side and fuck people's lives up. I wanna be the next fucking Cecil Peoples. Wait,
I no longer you don't want need to do any, this radio show with you.
You don't need any training to be Cecil Peoples.
Training?
What training?
Is this MMA?
I know something about boxing, so I'm gonna judge MMA. Anyway, don't get me started. I think you have to be blind to be a judge.
Yeah.
You have to be clinically blind in order to be a judge in some commissions. But that's all. That's just me. I'm just saying that.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Also on Saturday, locally, we have Battlefield 5.
Battlefield Fight League 5. That's the promotion I'm fighting on, you know.
Really?
Battlefield.
Wow.
Battlefield that's 6. March 19th.
Actually, where's that event going to be?
In Richmond, British Columbia. It's going to be at the River Rock Casino, March 19th. You can go to MMAsucker.com. Read Fighting Ambition.
Great blog, by the way, Trev. I love what you've been doing with it. Seems like you're coming along with your training and moving forward, progressing. It's going to be interesting to see you getting there.
Yeah, man, it's been the real trip, actually. It's anybody who's thinking about getting into the sport of MMA and fighting, you know, it sounds like a really good idea, but when you actually start training and eating properly, it's freaking grind, dude. It's like going to work sometimes, you know? Punching in, punching out, training. Like, I had a great time today training, but man, there are days where you just don't want to do it. But I've had great coaches at West Coast BJJ, and it's been a good time, and looking forward to it, man. I mean, I have to admit that some days I lay in bed thinking about it and wondering, what the F am I doing?
Yeah.
I don't like the idea.
Getting up or just thinking about getting in there in the cage?
Just thinking about getting punched. And kicked. I mean, I get punched and kicked in training, but there's a guy in there that wants to hurt me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, definitely. And I guess you don't know who your opponent is yet.
No, not yet.
And we're not going to announce it or anything if you did, but...
But this is the last time I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
This is the first and last time that I'll ever do it. But you know, it's going to be a great experience. So, you know, it's going to be good because I get to see, or I have been seeing firsthand what a lot of these guys who are... There's guys that do this every single day. They train every single day. This is their life. Jason Brooks, for instance, doesn't have a job.
Who is on the main card.
Who's the Battlefield welterweight champion. Who's on Battlefield 5 coming up here on Saturday.
Fighting against Ash
Mangari. Revolutioner.
Yeah. Exactly. He fights out of Revolution BC. Yeah. Dude is ripped. Jason is a beast as well. So should be a pretty good fight.
But I was just saying that there's guys who just dedicate their entire lives to the sport. And you know, even on the amateur level, they want to get to the pro level. So
that's what I was going to say. This is an amateur card, and you're saying these guys
spend
aren't
a lot
working
of time.
Any jobs and just training.
Well,
that's amazing.
Most of them do, but there's just occasional guy like Jason Brooks who just, for some reason, doesn't want to have a job anymore, living off the system, so he can train full time. And he's a great guy, by the way. He's helped me out quite a bit. And all the best to him at Battlefield 5.
That's great. So sort of what I was going to say is you're used to being behind the scenes, so either backstage doing interviews, at the press booth, you know, sitting at the table, watching the fights, taking your notes, and now you're actually going to have to walk out from the back with your intro music, not with the dude to walk your co-partner out to the cage or your you know, training partner out to the cage, but you actually got to step in that cage and look your opponent in the eye.
Yeah.
Are you dreaming about this yet, or
what I mean?
Like,
that's what
are you dreaming that, yeah, obviously you're waking up thinking, what the fuck am I doing? But do you have thoughts in your head about you actually fighting against your opponent in the cage?
Well, yeah, because, you know, with MMA and like a lot of the guests we brought on, visualization is everything. So, yeah, there's lots of times where I'm having a shower and I'm visualizing in my head how I want the fight to go. I'm not going to say on here what my strategy is going to be, but in my head, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to do? And so visualization is important. Like, so when I, today, for instance, at MMA class, for performance MMA class, we go over the coaches sort of game planning. We've done it for the last few weeks. In your head, what are you going to do? What do you see happening? So it's very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And it's created like, you know, a whole new, and I'm not just visualizing for a fight now, I'm visualizing other things, you know, like the radio show or different things. It opened my mind to just allowing to yourself to believe in what you're doing and having more of a positive outlook in what you're doing. It makes a big deal. And George St. Pierre preaches it all the time, right? That, you know, 20% of mixed martial arts is mental. And if you're not mentally prepared, you're going to go into a fight and you're not going to be ready.
Yeah, for sure. And as a fight team, you at
BJJ.
BJJ, yeah, not West Coast Promotions, which is another organization here. But West Coast BJJ, you guys are now like a family. You're not only training there for yourself, but you're helping the other guys train as well.
Well, I don't know how much I'm helping at this point. You know, I get thrown around quite a bit. I get punched and kicked and thrown tossed and
I know you've written about this and whatnot, kicked. But what is your favorite part of training?
Honestly, man, I really like the MMA classes where you could spar. I really like sparring. I like taking what you learn and sparring. I learn a lot more by just doing. When you're always drilling, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's always drilling. When you're always, you know, doing BJJ and don't get me wrong, I actually like full gi Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But when you're always just, you know, drilling. When you finally get a chance to see if you can remember that thing, you know, those things that you're learning in the heat of combat, I appreciate it a lot more. So we're still waiting here for Phil Baroni. It's almost 7:30.
Yeah.
Should we maybe do a commercial break?
We could do a commercial break. Yeah, definitely. And
yeah.
And at about 7:40, we're going to have our next guest on. So I'm not counting on Phil Baroni here at all.
I think Phil Baroni just, I think we got the phony.
We got the phony Baroni.
Yeah. We'll have to try to get him another show, but we will have George Roop coming up. But for now, we'll go to a couple commercial breaks. Thanks for hanging in with us, folks. You are listening to MMA Sucker Radio on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net.
This year, one man looks for answers.
Hello? I'm just doing a Google search there. Disembodied voice.
It's him versus the world. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
What? I didn't know. No, I'm a nice guy.
He's back in action and better than ever.
No, I've been here for a while, but okay then.
Nothing's going to stop him. The truth is out there.
Yeah, I just want to find out who's fighting on Saturday. That's it. The hell.
Get ready for action. Are you ready for the thrill ride of your life?
Is anybody else listening to this? Anybody? Like some girls maybe even? You know? They want to go for a thrill ride, huh? Kapow. Yeah. Thrill ride.
Don't miss the internet event of the decade.
Porno?
MMASucker.com.
Yeah. MMASucker.com. Yeah. Not porn.
MMASucker.com. MMA news has never looked this good.
MMASucker.com. All right. Thank you, voice.
No problem. MMASucker.com. Be there.
My life was not going as I had hoped. Things just kept going from bad to worse. I spoke to my doctor. He recommended calciferol.
People everywhere are discovering the power of calciferol. If you've had difficulty of any kind, maybe calciferol's the solution. Side effects may include drowsiness, upset stomach, nausea, anal leakage, diarrhea, loss of appetite, increase of appetite, skin irritations, humors, moodiness, depression, anxiety, constant erections, or erectile dysfunction. Scuba divers should not be taking calciferol. If you plan on flying, traveling by car, or by foot, 9 out of 10 people who took calciferol suffered stroke or heart attack within the first 5 seconds.
Calciferol!
This episode of MMA Sucker Radio is brought to you by Rain Full Contact. Expand, conquer, Rain.
Welcome back to MMA Sucker Radio. I love this song. That's right, folks. We were supposed to be joined by Phil Baroni, but Phil had, I guess, prior commitments, couldn't join us. Happens once in a while, so now we gotta play filler. Woohoo! While we wait for George Roop, but I don't mind, man. I get the chance to talk to you. I get to talk a little bit of MMA. Just your thoughts, and Jeremy, on some of the big stories that have been going on, because there's been talk about Brock Lesnar. There's been a lot of rumors floating around. I'm still reading stuff today. What the hell is going on with Brock Lesnar? Is he going to be coming back, or is he actually seriously trying to get out of his UFC contract? Because you know what? He pulled the same shit with the WWE a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
This guy, like,
is I don't know what the deal with him is. Dana seems to think that he's sticking around the UFC.
Okay. Oh, I mean,
Brock seems to be an entity of himself. We've seen that with his training. We've seen that with what he's done in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is, he's one in a million, is what you have to say. I mean, you've seen even in the way he fights, like everything that the guy does, he's different than everyone else.
Yeah, well,
I mean, who else has a fucking sword tattooed on their chest?
Yeah, well, some people call it something else.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. Chael Sonnen, apparently, is a cheater. Not just in the cage or outside. He's now a cheater sort of outside the cage.
Yeah, and the mortgage broker company was supposedly here in Vancouver.
Yeah. So I guess he's
close to home.
I never understood what laundering money was, because I figured, why would people put money in the laundry? I've done I've put a few toonies or a few dollar bills in through the laundry.
Bills, it does something. The toonies just come out nice and shiny. For you Americans, toonies means $2.
$2 here, or peso up here in Canada, is called the toonie. Okay?
Also, did you see that after last week's fight, Jacob Volkman called out Barack Obama with Ariel Helwani because he doesn't like some of the things that Barack's done, and Jay Leno did a spoof on it. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, no, I haven't. It's on our site?
Yeah, it's under... Yeah.
Jacob Volkman called out Barack Obama.
Yeah,
what is he thinking he's going to do?
I don't know, but...
You think Barack's going to fight him?
No, but he's not... Okay, on that note, not only did Jay Leno spoof this, but the Secret Service actually came to Jacob Volkman's house after they saw this video.
Excuse me, Mr. Volkman. Sorry, was that Agent Smith enough for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Help your landlady take out the garbage.
He was wearing glasses and shit. Yeah. There were five of them behind him. They all looked the same.
Yeah.
We got some pretty good stories on the site right now. PJ Maida actually put up a story this morning called MMA's Blue Chip Prospects to Watch For in 2011.
Would Tyrone Woodley be one of those guys?
That he would. There's a few others on there. There's a local boy who trains out of Raw Academy here on there, I believe. Maybe not. I thought he was going to put him on. But speaking of Cajun Johnson, who is fighting at the next MFC in February, should be an amazing matchup. We've heard that if he wins this fight, there's a possibility he could be up for the lightweight title.
Yeah. And so that's February 20th?
Yeah, something like that. But speaking of lightweight title in the MFC, we all saw and heard that Antonio McKee has moved on from the MFC and also has moved on from the UFC.
He just keeps moving.
He obviously wasn't that war machine that wanted to come into the UFC and just take everyone by storm.
You know, he's the Mandingo.
Yeah.
But
the literal term for Mandingo.
Yeah, we're not talking about big African.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
Tribes is what we're talking, right?
Yeah, tribes. So that's funny because he had one of the best interviews we've ever had on the show. And I was hyped to see him. And he lost a split decision. Close decision.
I actually watched it on the UFC website. I personally thought it was a draw. Maybe after take the command course, could go over that fight again
exactly.
And judge it.
I think a lot of judges should take the command course. So Antonio McKee is now moving on. I'd like to get him on the show again because he's just a fun guy to talk to.
Yeah, I had a really good interview with him earlier in the week. He's pretty upset with the whole situation. He chat with his lawyer about it and stuff.
Talk to his lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had to talk
to his
lawyer.
Well, it's kind of unfortunate that it was a one-and-done thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because a few people have been chatting about it. Like, I posted the story on the Underground. It was posted on there, and people were saying, you know, because of the trash talk, Dana saw that he did all this trash talk. He didn't perform, so it's out of there.
Oh, but the thing is, though, this is what I'm talking about. You need guys with personality.
Exactly,
in MMA.
Yeah. You need the
and
hype.
He brought it. He lost a close, I mean, it was a close fight with Volkman, man. So.
Yeah.
I mean.
Another story on the site. Andrew Dodds has been putting up these random thoughts. They're sort of quirky random
these.
Thoughts that he puts up on Sunday.
Look at them.
We could read a few, I guess.
Let's read a few random thoughts by Andrew. Random thoughts by Andrew Dodds.
Let's do overdue. Alistair Overeem has defended his Strikeforce title once in over 3 years, and he did it against Brett Rogers.
Overdue. Okay. Awesomely old school. In the film I Love You, Man, when the Hulk applies a sleeper and then brags about it, classic. These are just like random thoughts from Dodds.
Exactly. Here's another good one. Speaking of Chael Sonnen, hypocritical. I thought Chael Sonnen, who pleaded guilty to money laundering charges, said Anderson Silva was a fraud. Do you think Chael is the type of guy who could have thrown that in someone's face? I actually like him. And think he gave us all a great fight in 2010. But who am I to say anything as I am slagging off people here?
Yeah. Well, then, you know, so go to our site, MMAsucker.com. Check out some of the great articles and stuff we bring on. All that brought to you by Rainful Contact. By the way, folks, if you get a chance, go to RainfulContact.com and check out their gear. I'm telling you right now, man, they are bringing out some excellent gear. I love their shin pads. Their 16-ounce gloves are beautiful. Rainful Contact. Seriously, support them. Go check out their website. Also, DominantGround.com. What's going on with Dominant Ground? Are they still giving us free shipping?
I believe so,
yeah. Free shipping worldwide. So go to DominantGround.com. All the great gear. If you want, you know, Anthony Pettis' walkout gear from Form. Form Athletics, by the way. I love their stuff. Just looking at it right now. You can go to DominantGround.com right now. And check it out. And they've got all kinds of stuff. You just have to go for yourself. I don't want to list it all off. They've got all kinds of great brands and gear.
They sell rain gear as well, which we were just talking about.
15% off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 15% off on rain gear, free shipping, all through 2011 probably. I'm sure that the great people there at Dominant Ground, you know, the pricing's really good and free shipping. So
there you go. Well, moving on a little bit. I know this is a little ways away. But UFC 129 in Toronto. We all knew that George St. Pierre was going to fight Jake Shields, but this fight has been announced.
It's been finally officialized.
A few other fights on that card. Local boy, who's been fired from
good
the police.
Good Canadian kid.
Who's been fired from the local Toronto police force.
Oh.
Sean Pearson will be taking on Brian Foster.
Why did he get fired from the...
He had to choose one or the other, I believe.
Oh.
He wasn't allowed to fight if he wanted to be a cop.
Really? Why?
I don't know.
There's lots of guys who hold down the police
job.
Big
fight on this card that was released by MMA Junkie last week. Phil Davis versus Matt Hamill.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm taking... Ooh.
That's a tough... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll have to think about that one. Are we going to Toronto, by the way?
I'd love to, but Andrew Dodds, our boy who writes those
random
thoughts,
lives in Toronto. The big smoke.
Exactly.
He lives there.
He may go to it for us for MMAsucker.com.
Yep.
Also on that card, good friend of the show, Daniel Ninja Roberts announced on his Twitter that he will be also fighting.
Daniel Ninja Roberts was supposed to be on the show today, and he probably would have showed up. Instead, we got Phil Baroni, but we asked Ninja.
Phony Baroni.
We even did a nice little intro for the guy. Ninja Roberts was supposed to be on the show today, but he couldn't do it because he was on that other show.
Yeah, we won't mention any names.
No, the other show.
Yeah, that other show.
Who keeps changing the time and date to fall in the same time and date as our show, which is kind of a compliment.
Interesting. Really, yeah, but Ninja Roberts is fighting Canadian boy Claude Patrick. That should be a fucking fireworks war.
Yeah, you know, when we move the show to the radio, you can't say fucking anymore.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Fuck this, fuck that. Well, we're not on the radio right now. We're on the interweb. So I'll say fuck as much as I want.
Okay. All right. I'm just letting you know. Yeah, so UFC 129 taking place in Toronto. And they're going to have like 40,000 people at the show. It's going to break all kinds of crazy, silly attendance records. And
lots of Canadians on that card, too,
Of course, man. What do you think? They're going to have a bunch of freaking Brazilians on the Canadian card?
Yeah, come on. Well,
it's a bunch of Mexicans.
There are a few Brazilians on the card, but they're fighting Canadians.
Yeah, okay.
Ben Henderson's going to be on the card.
Nice. Yeah, he's fighting Mark Bocek.
Bocek, yeah.
I would say Bocek. Bocek.
We could say Bocek.
Bocek.
Yeah, good fight, man. Fuck.
Yeah, good card. It's going to be... what do you think of the GSP-Jake Shields fight? Do you see the challenge for GSP?
No, I don't actually. After seeing Shields' performance against Campman,
okay, but take away that performance against Campman because it's already well known.
Okay,
he was going into that fight not himself.
Yeah, anyone could say
A shell of himself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we saw his fight against Dan Henderson. He lost the first round in that fight. Henderson was kicking his ass. If the first round goes any way like that with GSP, GSP will absolutely dominate Shields.
Yeah, probably. And then maybe we'll see an Anderson Silva GSP fight finally.
Yeah.
In 2011.
Well, Shields is the only guy in the division that GSP has. Hmm. Other than possibly, I'd love to see GSP fight Carlos Condit if Condit gets another win.
Yeah, apparently GSP right now is training with BJJ World Champions Roger Gracie and Braulio Estima, by the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a guy who just goes and trains with the best in the world, you know? Just goes around. I mean, do you think people turn him away?
No, why would you? other than the accent? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I was not impressed with your... Yeah, anyway. and I was just realizing that I went to the gym to train the other day, and I had a rash guard on, and it was the exact same rash guard that GSP wears. And I got some cat calls.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, like, why are you wearing the GSP rash guard? I look like a total douche. You know what I mean? I look like that guy who just wears all new MMA clothing and shows up to the gym, fully on sponsored gear, and never trained in his life. So, yeah. I didn't
know that.
At
least you had it.
Oh, I didn't know that was the same rash guard. So, anyway. I'm that guy. It's like the ski mountain where you see these people. It really bugs the shit out of me. All brand new gear. You know, matching jacket and pants with the skis and just looking
you
to the nines.
You see them on the lift, right?
Yeah.
And then they get off the lift and they bail.
Yeah. They go down the bunny hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking pisses me off.
But we're just waiting.
My
on,
gears.
We're waiting on George Roop here. We're just bantering on.
Are we waiting for George Roop now?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we do an entire show and our guests don't show up?
No, I've got confirmation from Roop. He says he's going to be phoning in.
We've done a
and
show.
And here
it
is!
George Roop is, I believe, going to be joining us right now. And George, are you there?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, man?
Not bad, man. Not bad. We got stood up already for our first guest with Phil Baroni. He was a phony. Phil Baroni. So we're glad that you were able to come on the date with us, buddy.
Yeah, it's been 40 minutes of us just shooting the shit.
Yeah. Talking to
everybody. Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. So first off, George, tell us what you did over the Christmas holiday. You got kids, you got a wife. It must have been fun.
Yeah, man. I got, you know, just kind of, you know, did the whole family thing, man. I mean, and trained a lot, bro. You know, I mean, that's what I did. I trained and did the family thing, man. Opened presents and... went over to my fiance's family's house and just did the whole, you know, the whole family gig.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool. So you, with you know, the kids and the fiance and everything, like, do your Do you have a fairly like large family when you all get together, not just with your fiance and kids, but do you have a fairly large family with the in-laws or, you know, in your own family?
You know, not too much, man. I'd say it's a, you know, medium-sized family and everything. So yeah, not too big at all, bro. Just kind of, you know, pretty small, laid back, and you know, it was lots of fun, man. That's the way I like to do it, nice and relaxing.
Yeah, because I got a 2-year-old daughter, and you know, for me, you know, when you're younger, Christmas is great. And as you get older, it kind of gets to be kind of, well, you know, fun. Nice to have some holidays. But I have now a 2-year-old daughter, and dude, I'm jacked for Christmas every year now. You know what I mean? It's so much different when you have kids, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, man. You know, we just had a baby too, so it was kind of like a weird age, man. You know what I mean? Because he's 3 months old, so we're like, oh, what do we want to get him? You know, I mean, so kind of a weird age. So I definitely can't wait till next year, bro. It's gonna definitely, you know, be a lot more exciting for him for the next year, and you know, it's just, you know, it'll be a lot more interesting.
Cool, cool. Well, the question I like to ask all new guests is, how did you get into the sport? Did you just kind of walk into a gym, kind of pay the registration fee and get in, or how did you get into MMA?
You know, I watched the very first UFC. So, you know, I known it's something I wanted to do, you know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, watching the very, very first UFC on VHS tapes, man, and, you know, just keep watching them over and over. You know, when there was no rules, no time limit. So I always loved it, man. Did traditional martial arts, took taekwondo when I was a little kid, and wrestled in school a little bit. And, you know, I didn't really start training MMA until about, you know, I'd say maybe like 5 years ago. And one of my buddies was doing a jiu-jitsu class, and he came over to my house, and we started wrestling in the living room. And, you know, and I was a pretty good wrestler. But, you know, he kicked my butt with the jiu-jitsu, so I, you know, I definitely thought it was time for me to, you know, try some jiu-jitsu, and then it's kind of where it just, you know, propelled me into MMA.
So 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's when I wow. really started training, like, mixed martial arts. So, you know, not too long ago. I mean, now you got kids, you know, that have been training, you know. I mean, the sports, you know, I believe that, you know, martial arts has evolved more over the last, you know, 5-10 years than it has in thousands of years, really, you know. And I think that's due to, you know, the whole, you know, explosion of mixed martial arts, the UFC coming onto the scene.
Yeah. And is that something you would like to see your kids get into at all one day?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I mean, I definitely, you know, want my kids to, you know, do martial arts. You know, I'm not going to, you know, be pushing them to it, man. But, you know, I'm sure they're going to definitely want to, you know, definitely be involved in it. They'll be, they'll be at the gym constantly, and they'll be surrounded by it. So I'm sure they're going to be very interested in it.
With the beautiful family that sounds like you have and what you do for a living, are you able to find that sort of balance in your life?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I definitely, you know, like I said, you know, we just had a new baby. You know, my girl's already back to work and everything. So, you know, I wake up early in the morning and I train. And, you know, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get my strength and conditioning out of the way. You know, my girl goes to work and, you know, I'm kind of the manny at home, you know, all day long, man. So, I love, you know, being able to take care of the baby, man. He, you know, he's awesome. He's tons of fun, dude, to be around. And then she gets off work, and I put myself, you know, I take myself to the gym and, you know, get all my mixed martial arts training in.
What's the advantage, by the way, of doing your strength and conditioning first thing in the morning? I've heard different things. One, it's a lot easier to lose weight, or is it just more of just a convenience thing for you?
You know, it's definitely more of a convenience thing for me. You know, some days, you know, especially, you know, right now when it's winter time, you know, I prefer to sleep in, stay in my bed where it's nice and warm. But, I mean, you know, I live in Tucson, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I say it's more of a convenience thing, but really, man, I've learned to really enjoy getting it out of the way because I feel like it's the hardest, you know, the hardest workout that I do is the strength and conditioning because I have a phenomenal strength and conditioning coach at the University Medical Center here in Tucson. And, I mean, it's just, you know, but it is brutal. It's some brutal training and, you know, it's nice just I'm like, okay, all right, it's 7 o'clock. I got it out of the way. You know, I'm done with my hardest workout by 7 a.m., you know, before people are even, you know, well, people are pretty much waking up for work.
Yeah. Yeah. And because I've done it a couple times now, and you feel great afterwards. Like your day is set. It seems like it's better than coffee.
Oh man, totally. You know, you got all your endorphins going, man. I've learned to really like, definitely get my strength and conditioning out of the way in the morning time. It gives me a lot of time to recoup for my evening training session too.
Mm-hmm. Where do you draw your inspiration from as a fighter? Because, you know, some guys like to fight with anger. You know, they need to trash talk. Others get it from, you know, family or religion. I don't know. Where does George Roop find motivation to get in there, train every day, and fight?
You know, I say a lot of, you know, a lot of different things. You know, one thing that, you know, has driven me a lot lately is, you know, people doubting me, really, man. You know, I wasn't supposed to beat Leonard Garcia, you know. Chan Sung Jung, you know, I wasn't supposed to beat him either. He wasn't supposed to be able to be knocked out, you know. So, you know, just playing the underdog role really kind of motivates me, man. And, I like that role, and I like taking it on. I like proving people wrong, and, you know, it gives me, you know, a great inspiration, you know. You know, it's just really the more, you know, the warrior mindset, you know. I always have my opponent on my mind, you know, no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah, so obviously you definitely thrive on being the underdog because you got a fight coming up against Hominick, which you probably, again, probably, I would imagine, just a slight underdog. I don't know for sure because I haven't looked at it, but I don't know how much longer the people can make you an underdog now. Does that, like, I mean, you sort of already answered that, but you definitely thrive on that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, playing the underdog role, I love it, man. You know, that's what gives me a lot of motivation. You know, I've always felt, you know, I don't like to be the big fish, you know, in the small pond. I like to be the small fish in the big pond, you know, and, you know, I feel like, it gives me something to work towards, you know, and it still, you know, it keeps that fire going, you know, like, all right, you know, I'm going to show these people, you know. So, you know, that's kind of, the inspiration that I've had a little bit lately, you know, along with, you know, my family, you know, all the generic things people say, you know, I could throw all that stuff in there too. But, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, all that as well, you know, definitely inspires me.
Well, let's talk about your career a little bit. You were on The Ultimate Fighter, and I always like, anytime we have a guest on that's been on that show, I always like to ask them, you know, what was your experience like? Is that something you enjoyed, or are you glad that it ended?
Both, bro.
Yeah.
So definitely both, man. You know, it's something that I love, you know, looking back at, man, you know, I really enjoyed it, you know. When I was there, I didn't enjoy it so much, you know. We had... You know, I don't know if you'd call it the Ultimate Fighter show or the Junie show when I was there. So,
I forgot about that.
So, but, you know, it was, you know, being surrounded by, you know, somebody like that, you know, constantly trapped in, you know, that situation. I mean, he never messed with me, but, you know, just the, you know, just being around it, you know, was kind of, you know, you know, out of my element a little bit. But, you know, man, it was a great experience, man. It's not something I'd ever want to do again, but I would absolutely definitely do it again. And it definitely changed, you know, my whole approach to training and to fighting. And it really made me, you know, take it more serious. You know, I definitely, you know, I get in 2, sometimes 3, when possible, workouts, you know, a day. And whereas before the Ultimate Fighter show, I was only doing, you know, 1 workout a day. And, you know, my nutrition wasn't proper. And, you know, just the whole lifestyle, really, you know, it was definitely a lifestyle change.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate with that season. I forgot that Junie Brownie pretty much hijacked that season, didn't he? So
yeah, you know, and that's cool, bro. You know, like I'm cool with that. You know, I'm still you know, with the Zuffa promotion. You know, UFC.
Yeah.
I was then the WEC, and you know, I wasn't there to be a reality TV star. You know,
yeah.
I was there to be a mixed martial arts fighter, and, you know, with all the hard work, you know, I put in, I've put myself in a, you know, a good position to, you know, potentially, you know, be in line for a title shot soon.
Well, Let's talk about that. You've come full circle in your UFC career. You were with the organization after Tough in 2008, 2009, and then after loss to Soteropoulos at UFC 101, you eventually ended up in the WEC. And with the WEC being swallowed up by the UFC, here you are again, getting ready to fight Mark Hominick at UFC Fight for the Troops on January 22nd. How good does it feel to get another chance to fight in the UFC?
Man, it feels awesome, dude. You know, it feels awesome to be able to fight at my natural weight class, too. You know, I fighting at 155, these guys are walking around 190 pounds. You know, I mean, it's hard to do that. I walk around, 160 pounds, even though I am very tall. It's still tough, it's a tough task and everything to not fight at your weight class. And, here at 145 pounds, that was my weight before the Ultimate Fighter show. That's my fight weight, when I was on the Ultimate Fighter show. So, it's really nice just to be able to, fight at my natural weight class and, feel like I'm the bigger and stronger guy.
Yeah, because I was looking around here, and you've jumped around a few times at different weight classes. You went from lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight, and back to featherweight. Are you comfortable now with featherweight?
Yeah, I always have been. I experimented. The reason why I jumped, the first is for lightweight. The reason why I jumped up to lightweight is because, when you get an opportunity like that, you don't say no. If it would have been at 185 pounds, I would have been fighting on the Ultimate Fighter show. That's my mindset. When you get an opportunity, you got to run with it and everything. Mm-hmm. So, I was fighting in a weight class higher than me, the UFC didn't have the 145 pound division.
No.
If I had that option, then I'd have definitely dropped down to 145 pounds. You don't say no, to an opportunity like that. So, I ran with that opportunity as long as I could. Unfortunately, I was released from the UFC and, ended up, winning one fight out of there in a local promotion here, Rage in the Cage, signed with the WEC. And I flirted with the bantamweight idea. And, that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was just making weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not something I'll ever do again. It's the first time I've ever done it and the only time I'll ever do it. So, it definitely feels good to be at 145 pounds. It's a very easy cut for me. And, I definitely feel, this is my weight class and I've always been successful at this weight.
Yeah, well, for me, because I'm doing a documentary, and part of this documentary, they just took an average guy and they're putting me through sort of, the grind, what a fighter goes through. And I've been learning for the last 6 months. And I started off, no word of a lie, George, I weighed 205 pounds, okay? And I'm a small guy, I'm 5'7", so I was overweight. And I'm now down to 163 pounds. I'm going to be fighting at 145 pounds, dude. So I have a whole new appreciation for what you guys do and with your diet and how important it is to always be working out and to be eating right, man. So for you to go down all the way, to bantamweight, that must have been extremely difficult. You must have been a very unhappy person there for a few weeks.
Well, first of all, man, congratulations on, on making, the change, man, that you have, dude. Because, that's a dramatic change right there, bro.
Yeah.
And, 135 pounds was hell, dude. Like I said, it was the hardest thing I ever done in my life. I won't ever do it again. I didn't feel like I could concentrate on a game plan. My game plan was to make 135 pounds for the fight, That was my game plan. So, I wasn't able to approach the fight how I wanted to. And, on top of that, I fought a very, very tough competitor. Zuffa has definitely not hand-fed me at all. I've worked for all my, I've worked for all the wins that I've got and even the losses, man. And, I do have a lot of losses on my record, but I feel like those are more learning experiences for me. And, you always lose more, learn more from a loss than you do a win.
Yeah. Well, just because, how excited are you to sort of see your fellow sort of WEC alumni, those weight classes, get a chance to show their stuff on a bigger stage in the UFC?
Man, I think it's huge. I'm very excited for it. It's a big thing for, us lighter guys and everything. You know, I fought in the UFC before, and so is Dominic too. But for us to be able to fight at our natural weights, you know, under, you know, the big three letters, you know, I mean, that's huge for us. I'm excited for everybody else. We're definitely going to go out there and steal, you know, some of those bonus checks. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for all the lighter guys in the UFC.
You're listening here to George Roop here on MMA Sucker Radio on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. Let's talk about your upcoming fight with Mark Hominick. It's an interesting one because I didn't know this until just before we got on the air that you guys actually know each other, used to train together. How does that come into play when you prepare for a fight like that? Is it an advantage or can it be a disadvantage?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, he knows what I bring to the table and I also know what he brings to the table. You know, on the other hand, man, it's going to definitely make for an exciting fight. You know, we've trained together a lot. We're still from the same team. After this fight, I still plan on going back up there and, training with Team Tompkins and, you know, training with Hominick as well. You know, he's a great training partner. But you know, I feel like this is a great opportunity for me, and for, you know, my career. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to put on, you know, a fight of the night performance and, you know, put on a great fight for the troops and for the UFC fans.
Was it easy for you to say yes to this fight, or did you guys have to talk about it first a little bit?
No, it was easy for me to, you know, it was easy for me to say yes to the fight. I don't know, you know, I did talk to Tompkins, to, you know, to Sean, and, you know, just made sure, you know, it would have been cool, but, I mean, it wasn't a problem for me, you know, to take the fight. I think, you know, that I've proven that, you know, I'll fight anybody at any given time, on any time notice, too. You know, I fought George Chatteropoulos on a week and a half notice.
Yeah.
You know, I fought Leonard Garcia on a week and a half notice. You know, with big risks come big rewards. And, you know, that's the motto that I live by. And, you know, this is going to propel me into, you know, title contention. And that's what I want. You know, I feel like that I'm the guy that can beat Jose Aldo. And I know that's, you know, a lot to say. You know, given Jose Aldo is, you know, he's the man, you know, no doubt about it. But, you know, I feel like I pose, you know, a great threat to him. And, you know, I put him in a dogfight.
Yeah. What have you been doing to train for Hominick? I mean, who have you been training with and where?
You know, I'm back down home in Tucson, Arizona. And, you know, Arizona, you know, we've been put on the map, you know, a lot lately.
Yeah.
I'm training with, you know, my team here at Apex Mixed Martial Arts, also, you know, Boxing Inc. And, I mean, man, we got a lot of great, you know, mixed martial arts guys down here, you know, when it comes to jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and kickboxing, boxing, you know, everything you need, you know, we got it down here. And, you know, it's just, it's been a great training camp, man. I've been, you know, I've been training my butt off, you know. My goal is to just get better and better every day I get in the gym, you know. I haven't been training, you know, for 10 years like these other guys. And, you know, every time you see me, you'll see an improved fighter and a better George Roop every time I step in the cage.
Must be an honor on January 22nd to fight on this upcoming card because it's in Fort Hood, Texas, and it's Fight for the Troops. Give us your thoughts on that.
Oh, man, I'm very excited to fight for the troops. You know, I'm a very patriotic person, you know, always have been. And I know that the crowd is going to be wild. And I'm, you know, I'm totally excited about that. You know, I know that this crowd is going to, you know, just the, you know, just the energy that they're going to give off. You know, I know it's going to make all the fighters on that card, you know, push the pace and, you know, just put on, you know, a great fight for, you know, everybody, you know, to watch, you know, across the world and, you know, especially right there for the troops.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun, card and I'm going to really look forward to watching it. George, we're up against the clock here and, man, I could talk to you for hours, man. You seem like a really solid dude and I appreciate you coming on. And, any shout outs you want to make at all? Any shout outs, sponsors, anything like that?
You know, I just want to give a shout out, you know, to my, you know, my wonderful family here, you know, my beautiful fiance, you know, she supports me through everything, you know, definitely all my, you know, all my teammates at Boxing Inc. and Apex Mixed Martial Arts that, you know, really, you know, put in all the work through the holidays, man. And, you know, just been there, you know, been there, put that blood, sweat and tears, you know, in the gym.
Awesome, George. Before we let you go, can you give us, this is George Roop, and you're listening to MMA Sucker Radio.
This is George Roop, and you're listening to MMA Sucker Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
No worries, man. And thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. All the best to you, and we'll definitely be cheering you on in your fight coming up.
Sweet. Thanks, bro.
Thank you. That was George Roop. You're on MMA Sucker Radio on MMAsucker.com and MMAcanada.net. Jeremy, you didn't even talk the entire freaking interview.
No,
you
could have
jumped
busy.
In through with a question or something like that.
No, I was going to let you stick with it. I was too busy.
I could have shut you up earlier.
Oh, I know. I was too busy listening to him say, you know. What a great interview, though.
Oh, dude, he's awesome, man. I have all the time in the world for guys like him. And again, like, it's just another example of why mixed martial arts athletes are the most accessible, easiest people to chat with, man. They're the best athletes in the world and the fastest growing sport in the world, and 99% of them have no ego, and they're just regular dudes who do such a great job for a living.
Yeah, for sure.
And and you can tell, man, he's just a very well grounded guy. And,
yeah, the problem with him being so cool is that it's a toss up who to cheer for in this fight now. I mean, fellow Canadian Mark Hominick, or do we go for this guy who was on the radio show tonight, George Roop, who's super cool.
Yeah.
I just hope it gets fight of the night.
I hope so, too. And you know what? I just hope, like you said, I hope it's a great fight. And, I'm going to be cheering for guys like George Roop because you get to know them a little bit, a small bit, doing those interviews. And you can't help but like the guy. So that's what I'm going to be doing at Fight of the Troops. I'm going to be cheering for him and down deep cheering for Hominick as well. So speaking of Hominick, apparently I won't ruin it, but there's an announcement. There's some stuff going on, Jeremy, that you've been doing behind the scenes about another certain radio.
Yeah, we can't really talk about that yet. Well, there'll be a formal announcement within the next week or so.
Oh,
yeah.
See how I teased it, though?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah,
there'll be a formal announcement. It's something pretty big we're working on.
Yeah, some stuff going on, and we're even working on getting this show on the terrestrial radio station. Who knows if that will happen, but we're working on it. So
yeah, there's a few big things going on for MMAsucker.com.
Yeah. So, what are your plans for the website? Let's just talk about it right now. What do you plan on doing? Anything, huge?
You don't have
any ideas. You have no... See, it's again, I'm the one that's coming up with all the ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I'll tell you what. The reason why I asked you that is because my next... I've been doing these Fighting Ambition blogs, like I've been telling you guys. My next one's coming out in the next couple of days. So, have a read. It's just, again, I'm just sort of writing down my experience, like I told George Roop, from being a fat fuck to feeling better and being in shape and learning mixed martial arts from scratch.
Definitely.
So I'm writing about my experience, and that will come up in the next couple of days. I already wrote it. I just need to edit it because there's, when you write things late at night, sometimes you have to look over it again because either you maybe said some things you shouldn't have said, or...
We all love reading that.
Yeah, it's true.
We have a few things. I mean, as people have seen, there's a picture of Caleb Starnes on the front page. He's going to be writing a Diary of the Fighter upcoming. He has a fight in the next couple of weeks in January, against an unnamed opponent, I guess. He has a fight coming up.
Yeah.
But he wants to write for his AFC fight, which is in April. So we'll see if we can get one before his January fight leading up to that. But we're also working on another fellow Canadian who is possibly fighting on the same night as the AFC card.
Yeah, so these Diary of a Fighters has been awesome for us. And Caleb Starnes, I know a lot of you guys out there think, first thing you think of Caleb Starnes is that fight he had in UFC and
against Nate Quarry,
where Caleb was injured and he was just having a rough time in there. But I've had the pleasure of talking to Caleb Starnes a couple times and seeing him fight up here in British Columbia at Armageddon Fighting Championships, and we've had him on the show as well.
Yeah.
And he's such an articulate person and he's such an intelligent person and he's got a lot of great things to say. And I think these blogs these diaries or blog entries, whatever you want to call them, are going to be a very, very good read because, sometimes Caleb pulls he doesn't pull punches.
No, yeah, exactly. And people only think back on him because of that Nate Quarry fight. They forget that he beat guys like Chris Lieben.
Yeah, I know. He's a very, very talented man. And
he holds the Armageddon Fighting Championships middleweight belt.
Yeah, and he's fought some tough dudes, man. So, we're looking forward to him doing that. And there's someone else we're working on. It's a surprise right now. We're still working on it. A
few surprises we got, eh?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of different surprises. I'm sorry we're throwing all these surprises out there, but just stay, what we're saying is stay in touch with us, with MMA Sucker Radio.
Whether it's via Facebook at
Facebook.com/MMA Sucker. Just look up MMA Sucker on Facebook.
Or Twitter at MMA Sucker. Or your Twitter, Trev, is at MMA Sucker Trev.
Something like that.
And
Trev. The MMA Sucker Radio or MMASucker.com.
It's just at MMA Sucker Trev.
I'm not a Twitter guy.
And mine is MMA Sucker Jer. Or iTunes. You can subscribe to us to listen to this ranting and raving podcast. iTunes.com/MMASuckerRadio.
It's been one of those shows, you know? We have these good shows, and then we have these shows where you and I have to fill in for guests who... we rarely have it happen where guests stand us up.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm...
You know, you've been waiting at the door for a girl and she didn't show up.
Like, I've been sitting at this restaurant and we're going to meet at this restaurant. And then I feel like calling Phil. Just keep calling and leaving messages. You know what I mean? Like, Phil.
We should just phone his phone right now.
Where are you? Do you have his... No.
No, we won't do that. But his manager said he was going to phone. And obviously a bit of miscommunication with Phil Baroni. We'll get the badass on the show again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. And for everybody out there that has been listening... Thank you for bearing with us today, and hopefully we've got a great interview with George Roop. And again, we're on again next Sunday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we thank everyone for listening. I guess that pretty much means that we're going to have to go now, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Attention, Earthlings. Thank you for letting us hijack your computer. You are listening to MMA Sucker Radio on MMASucker.com and MMACanada.net. You were a fake, every lie, straight to my